took you through the little town of Bethlehem. As you looked at the story behind that Christmas carol, saw the importance of that little town. This week, I want us to look at the deep and wonderful lyrics to the Christmas carol, Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night. And in doing that, we first must look at Scripture. So hopefully you've had enough time to turn to Luke chapter 2. And if you did bring a Bible, that's fine. The verse will be behind me on the television screens here. Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 4. Verse 4. You see, this decree went out that these individuals had to go back to the land in which they came from for tax purposes. And it picks up in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this morning, Lord. And although Christmas is the season is full of all sorts of wonderful things, whether it's cutting down Christmas trees or giving gifts to one another or helping families in need, Lord, Christmas is full of so many different traditions and times for gathering for family, Lord, but we don't want to lose sight of the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ, Lord. This is when you decided to send your Son, the Savior of the world, to be born of a virgin, to begin his life on this earth, and to lead a remarkable life and death and resurrection. And so, Lord, we praise you for Jesus. We thank you for him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Silent Night, Holy Night. That is a song that most of us have known our entire lives. And as you hear those words this morning, I actually want to transport you back roughly 203 years ago to the mountains of Salzburg, Austria. The year was 1816, and a young Austrian priest named Joseph Mohr was overlooking the beautiful village in which he ministered. With the clear night sky above him and the settled homes below, his mind drifted to that glorious night in which Jesus, our Savior, was born. And as he traced the steps of that amazing day from the manger to the hills outside of Bethlehem, he thought of the peace, the joy, and the hope that was restored on that divine day. And with his heart full, he began to write the words to this Christmas lullaby that we've all grown up knowing. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. 2 years later, he was getting a Christmas Eve service prepared for his little town there in Austria. And the organ broke down. And all the music and all the preparation for that evening was dependent upon this organ working. And so he did not have the organ, and he wasn't sure what to do. And just a few hours before the Christmas Eve service, he ran to his friend's house, whose last name was Gruber. I want to say his first name was Franz Gruber. I don't have it in my notes, but he ran to his friend's house, who was just a simple musician. And he said, "We don't have the organ. We're going to need your guitar for tonight's Christmas Eve service. But we haven't rehearsed anything, and we don't have any song, and the choir hasn't rehearsed anything. And I was thinking, maybe, just maybe, we could sing a song I wrote 2 years prior in 1816. But I don't have music for it. It's just a poem." And so his friend that night, hours leading up to this Christmas Eve service, grabbed his guitar with a smile on his face, played a melody that he had been working on for years, while it worked perfectly with the six stanzas of Silent Night, Holy Night. And that night, just 1 hour before the Christmas Eve service, they taught it
to the choir, and that choir sang Silent Night, Holy Night, 1818, Christmas Eve service in Austria for the first time. A word spread of this new song, this new Christmas song, and it began to catch on, and it began to spread, and as days turned into years, we find ourselves this very day recognizing this song. Maybe above all other Christmas carols. And so this morning, I want us to take a little deeper look into three of the six stanzas and see where did this come from? You see, Joseph Moore did a tremendous job poetically of painting the picture of that divine day, evening in which Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, was born. So, similar to last week, we're going to look at one stanza, and then we'll look at the scripture that accompanies that stanza, and look at some of the deep truths and theology to this wonderful Christmas carol. So beginning with stanza one. Words you're familiar with, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. We begin at the manger. And we think of, perhaps, that time where Mary is holding her newborn son in her arms, and he's fallen asleep. You see, if you envision this song like I do, this is a Christmas lullaby. At least that's how I envisioned it until I studied where it came from in Scripture and some of the background to it. But this first verse definitely paints for us a picture of a mother holding her baby. Sleep in heavenly peace, she says to him. But it reminds us of a significant truth. That is, when Jesus cried out his first cry into the night within that stable, the silence of God was broken. You see, although the first two words are silent night, I want to draw our attention to the fact that when Jesus was born, God's silence was broken. Now that may not mean much for us, because we can open up God's word and hear him speak to our hearts through inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit daily. We speak with God all the time. But when Christ was born was the first time the silence of God was broken in 400 years. Think about it. God had always spoken to Israel, whether it was from a burning bush or out of the mouths of prophets or from angels themselves. God has always been speaking to Israel, consistently communicating with them his plan for his chosen people. But it had now been 400 years where God's voice has been hushed. 400 years since the last words were spoken from God. There were no more prophets in this time. Godly men and women were few and far in between, and that word of God was hushed. During those 400 years of silent torture, I would call it, a proud country of Israel found themselves under the suppression of the Roman Empire, crying out to God to help them. And he was silent. 400 years. Hope and peace were nearly gone. But then something happened. God was no longer silent. And he broke his silence by orchestrating the single greatest event in all of history. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And within the words of this old Christmas carol, we are reminded that silence with God has been broken in the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So don't be misled when you picture Mary singing Silent Night. It was anything but silent. For 400 years there was silence, and now it has been broken. For what reason? For peace, for hope, for love. All of those things being restored on that moment Jesus was born. Now the first stanza of this song continues on. It reads, "Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild." That's significant because only this child, born in such a miraculous way, could bring peace to mankind, could restore that hope to mankind. The imagery is rather simple and sweet, as a mother holds her sleeping firstborn, so tender and mild. But Joseph Moore wants us to realize here that this child, although tender and mild as he sleeps, is no ordinary baby. He is the only holy infant in history. And only He could restore peace to mankind because He is holy. Now you may ask yourself, what's broken our peace with God? Why does peace have to be restored anyways? Why was God silent for 400 years? What's the big deal? Well, you see, from the moment of our first breath to our last, we are sinners. In constant conflict with God and His Word. Constant rebellion with Him. In fact, we know that even our best efforts fall short. Now, the strong say that salvation can be had by our own hands. Make sure you have perfect church attendance. Make sure you do this and that and be involved in this and be involved in that. And if you do all those things, you can earn your salvation. But the wise understand that that is not the case. From birth, we are sinners. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. That is, our good deeds, the things we do good for others, are like filthy rags because the sin has corrupted them. We are in rebellion to God. We understand one unfortunate conclusion in all of life, and that is, due to the imperfection of myself and all of humanity, peace with God can never be had without a Savior. And so in these seemingly simple words of lullaby, we understand several things. First of all, the silence of God was broken. Although the night may have been calm and bright, God spoke to humanity once again, spoke to Israel once again, and hope was restored, and love was seen again. And God did not abandon forever humanity. He sent His Son to be Savior in the perfect time, in a miraculous way, through the virgin birth. He's the only holy infant, and although He may have been tender and mild, let's not lose the fact that He is the Savior of mankind. And so, peace is restored. We can lay our heads on our pillows at night and sleep in heavenly peace because Jesus was born. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men." Peace is restored because of Christ. As we see that in the first stanza of this song, sleep in heavenly peace. The next stanza of this song, also familiar, "Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glories stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born." It's in the second stanza of this song written in 1816 by Joseph Moore that we move from the manger scene to the hillsides of Bethlehem. We move from Mary and Joseph and Jesus to these shepherds. And it's interesting because, again, this stanza starts, as you'll see in all of the stanzas, silent night, holy night. Maybe that's the phrase that ties it all together. That's the title of the carol. And yet, we know that that night was anything but silent. And we see here in the reaction of these shepherds that fear turns to worship because Christ the Savior is born. So Joseph Moore writes, "Shepherds quake at the sight." What does that mean? What caused the shepherds to quake, or as we would say in today's English, tremble with fear? What caused that to happen? What brought such great fear into the night? Well, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. You're already in Luke 2. Just look at a few more verses down the road there. It says in verse 8, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night." Okay, so let's stop there. Let me set the stage for you a little bit. To be a shepherd was rather a lonely job. It was you and your sheep. But at night, sometimes you would find common ground with other shepherds and enjoy the silent night with a few friends. Either way, shepherds were never accused of having big personalities or public personas. They were rather humble men. And often seen in that time as being low-valued, insignificant people. They weren't educated like the scribes were and the priests were. They simply watched over sheep. And as these humble shepherds rested quietly in the night, an angel of the Lord, in verse 9, suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Shepherds quaked at the sight of this angel that appeared suddenly. Now, that it's interesting because that word used to signify the angels suddenly appearing literally means in close proximity or near. So it wasn't like we often picture it, where the angels were a mile away in the sky, and they lit up the sky, and wow, it's like fireworks on the 4th of July. No, it wasn't like that. It was, the night was completely silent, with only the bleating of the sheep and the small conversations of the shepherds, and all of a sudden, right in front of them, in close proximity, and divine being, an otherworldly being, shows up. Just appears out of nowhere. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I've put myself in the sandals of these shepherds. And there I am, enjoying the quietness of the evening with some buddies. And all of a sudden that happens, I guarantee you I would be trembling with fear. And so this is what happened. Not only did they show up in close proximity to them, but the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now in the Bible, the divine glory of the Lord is often seen as a blinding light. If you remember, when individuals experience partial glory of the Lord, they fall to the face, down to the face, to their faces as dead men. Right? I believe it was Moses who said, "God, I just want to see your glory." And God said, "All right." And he sort of picked him up and hung him on the, that's how I feel, vision, hung him on the cliff there. And there he is hanging, you know. And God says, "Close your eyes." And then he passes by and he says, "Open them." And Moses pretty much sees the shadow of his glory. And his appearance has changed. Right? We see when Paul experiences the glory of the Lord on the road to Damascus, he's blinded by it. And so here these shepherds are, humble servants, humble men, uneducated men, seen as low-valued individuals in the community. And God goes to them. And angels appear in close proximity, the glory of the Lord shining around them. And these shepherds were terribly frightened, are the words in verse 9. This literally means extremely terrified. These poor shepherds came face to face with the glory streamed from heaven afar. And it caused them to quake in fear for their lives at the sight of this otherworldly creature. But this angel came for a reason. For he had a glorious message in verse 10 that we will read in verse 11. A glorious message to share with these humble men. The angels said in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David," just down the road, "there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." The message the angel had was not one of annihilation, one of good news and great joy. A Savior has been born. The long-awaited Messiah that even these shepherds knew about was finally here. And he was just down the hill as a baby in a manger. You'll find him there, gently wrapped in clothes. And it was at that moment when in verse 13 and 14, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And at that moment, those shepherds' greatest fear turns into a worship service. As these angels, more than just one, but a multitude of them. I don't know how many that is, but perhaps it's as many as the stars are in the skies. A multitude of angels appear singing worship to the Lord. What do they say? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now Joseph Moore writes that they sing "Alleluia." If you were to look up the Hebrew word "Alleluia," it simply means "praise God." When I see "glory to God in the highest," I think "praise God." These angels sing to the Lord who has provided peace again through a Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we read that second stanza, and we will sing it later, I want you to think about those shepherds and their interaction with those angels and how their fears turn to worship. Because when we interact with the Savior, our fears turn to worship as well. Then we have the third and final stanza that we'll talk about this morning. It reads, "Silent night, holy night, Son of God, loves pure light," which I seem to have missed that line, "radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth." Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. This is by far my favorite stanza in the entire song. Because the imagery is so rich here. The theology is so rich here. For it is within this stanza that we are reminded that the birth of Jesus is the dawn of redeeming grace. Not the end of redeeming grace. Not the dusk of redeeming grace. But the dawn, the beginning of redemption is in this baby, the Son of God, the Savior, Lord at thy birth. So as God broke his silence by the birth of his son, Joseph Moore begins to understand love's pure light. Again, I don't have that up there, but let me read it for you. "Silent night, holy night, Son of God, loves pure light. I love the imagery there. Because we see two things, love and light, coming together in the person of Jesus Christ.
For in him is the everlasting love of God expressed. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son of the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. John would also write in his first letter, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God? And such we are. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, this baby, Jesus, the Son of God, died for us. In the person of Jesus Christ, the love of God is fully understood. Silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light. When Jesus was born, God's love was fully realized, and love's pure light was Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And when this baby grew up, he would say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Joseph Moore wanted our thoughts to understand that Jesus is love's pure light. Unbelievable imagery. As we think of this incredible phrase describing God's love and the light of salvation coming together in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. He continues, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. I absolutely love these words for thought. From the face of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, is the beginning of redemptive grace. Now, redemptive grace is the grace of God that brings salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. And in this poetic form, Silent Night, this Christmas carol, Joseph Moore focuses on the redeeming grace of the Savior. You see, Jesus would come as the sacrificial lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Redemption is alone through him. Jesus is the Redeemer. And with his birth, redemption's plan, forecasted and prophesied about a few thousand years earlier, would begin. The advent or birth of Jesus is the dawn of redeeming grace. I don't often think of it that way necessarily, but it is the beginning. Not only was silence broken, not only was peace restored, but in the birth of Jesus Christ, redemption and grace was seen entirely. Began the dawn of redeeming grace. And we continue to walk in that grace of God each day. Where did that begin? The birth of Jesus. And then Joseph Moore ends with the phrase, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. The word Lord means master and speaks of his authority over creation, over time, over circumstances. He is sovereignly in control. And only in the Lord is salvation offered and possible. And so Joseph Moore reminds us in his third stanza that this baby, so tender and mild, is Lord of all creation. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And so in this seemingly simple lullaby we've all learned from young, there's great depth to it.
I didn't even look at stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Perhaps you know them and they're running through your mind right now, but as you continue to look through them, you see such great depth as Joseph Moore is expressing in poetic form the Word of God. And as we think about this carol, hopefully we've learned a great deal about who Jesus is, why God sent him, what his purpose would be, and what he would be to us, because salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And so when we sing in a few minutes, Silent Night, Holy Night, when we think of that manger scene with a newborn infant in it, may we understand that in that manger lies the dawn of redeeming grace, where love and light meet. And may we, like those shepherds and angels alike, respond in worship. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this particular time of year, we are reminded of the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, being born in a miraculous way to restore peace, to offer hope through salvation in him, and to bring joy into the world. So, Father, this morning, may our minds worshipfully dwell upon Jesus, our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.